Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi, friends. My name is Dave. I'm on the pastoral team here at Living Waters and happy to be sharing. Certainly, of course, at this time of the year, a fall season, which comes with all kinds of opportunities and activities. We trust that you feel connected to the life and ministry at Living Waters Church. You can head over to our website. Activities and events are posted regularly. They're updated. And of course, there's contact information for our ministry team to get hold of us. So we want you to be informed and encouraged as this fall season begins. We're encouraged. We hope you're encouraged as we grow towards what God has for us this season. Well, we begin a short series headed towards at the end of September, turning the pages into the book of Acts. But before we do, we felt very prompted to consider a short series called Lead Us. We want to encourage you to join us wherever you're watching from. Would you pray for Living Waters Church? Would you pray that God would lead us, would lead our community, would lead us into a new season, that God would lead us to one another, that God would lead us to a full understanding of his grace? May God lead us to our appointed places of service. May God lead us to be a people of invitation. May God lead us to make more room for one another and give our whole hearts to him. May God lead us. To help direct us and to find a bit of unanimity towards these prayers, I want to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 6 as I read the Lord's Prayer recorded in these verses. And it reads this way. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Perhaps the Lord's Prayer is familiar to you. Perhaps you could actually recite the Lord's Prayer without even looking down at your phone. Many would say that these words have been spoken more than any other all over the world, in different languages, tribes, nations, countries, and is found being spoken very appropriately and suitable in all kinds of gatherings. This prayer is suitable for this gathering today. The context for Jesus' teaching perhaps is best understood from its recording in Luke chapter 11. At some point, it would seem that the disciples were either listening or trying to join Jesus as he prayed, and found a bit of difficulty with that. When Jesus then finished praying, the disciples turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And so to teach them how to pray, Jesus recites for the very first time our text and what has become known today as the Lord's Prayer. This prayer was perhaps not meant to be mindlessly recited. Rather, it is offered to us as a gift to Christians, to the whole world, that asks for revelation, involves prophetic utterance, and is very evangelistic. I have many specific memories of the first week back to school. You're experiencing this past week, your first week back to school. Church administrator, a teacher, immense support. Maybe you're a student. The first week back to school. After such a good summer as teenagers, I have vivid memories. We would find our way first thing back into homeroom classroom. There begin the new week, the first week from Monday or Tuesday to Friday. How quickly things had changed from those best days of summer when we would sleep in late, grab some cereal late morning and watch a movie, and finish and wrap all that up around 2 p.m. in the afternoon. Good, good days. Here we were, early morning, back in homeroom. Oh, I shudder to think about it. What I do remember is homeroom, and I remember announcements. We would be asked to stand for the singing of the national anthem, which would be followed by, as we stood, asked to bow our heads and through the loudspeaker into every homeroom classroom, the Lord's Prayer would be recited. I have to say, my memory still is how conflicted I felt upon hearing and reciting of the Lord's Prayer in my homeroom classroom. Again, I appreciated the respect and attention given to this very sacred prayer. I was a Christian. I was able to celebrate my Heavenly Father being given promotion and attention. Yet I was always very concerned that the class would fully understand who this Heavenly Father was and how all our lives and our school, for that matter, would be so, so different if this prayer was prayed with full sincerity. Revelation. I could only imagine if our Heavenly Father began to answer the many requests that were being asked for in those simple and humble homeroom classrooms. Again, I'm not trying to act like a judge or even sound despairing, but I knew that there was a lot of lonely, directionless kids in those homeroom classrooms, perhaps longed for that classmate not just to recite from memory or written script the Lord's Prayer, but to pray with me, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Again, while there's nothing necessarily wrong with reciting the Lord's Prayer, we have to keep in mind that the question Jesus answers in Matthew chapter 6 is not what to pray. The question being answered is how to pray. So let's take a look at how to pray as taught by Jesus. Verse 9, Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray." Again, I don't think we act as judge here. There's no litmus test to what is right or wrong about someone's prayer. It must be said there's no secret key that unlocks the power of prayer, nor would someone want to say there's only one way to pray. But it's wrong to think that we can't learn how to pray and that prayer is just as some mysterious thing that we have to keep trying hard to do and hopefully eventually get right. For if this were true, Jesus' disciples asking him to teach them how to pray, Jesus would have said, "Well, I can't teach you. Prayer is far too mysterious and for a select few." No. In our text, Jesus gives us a blueprint, a teaching, teaching us that our prayer should be built with important theological priorities and principles. And the focus is on how to talk to God reverently, respectfully, and rightly, asking God for the right things the right way. We need to see this. For if the activity of prayer does not center on growing deeper in a relationship and revelation of God, then prayer will be reduced to a task we try to squeeze in during our very full busy days, perhaps most often being in an exercise where we feel very distracted, unfulfilled, and left discouraged. Prayer will never become the central activity of a Christian all day and every day if prayer is not understood as an ongoing relationship and revelation of our Father which art in heaven. So again, perhaps at the end of the day, perhaps the question is not, did I pray at least once today? The question is, did I prioritize this sacred activity that allowed God to lead me along a path to grow in a relationship and revelation with Him? Jesus goes on to say, as we pray, we say, "Our Father." A quick look at the Lord's Prayer, and we see the absence of the words I, me, and myself. Look on the screen, and we see the pronouns that are used. Again, instead of I, me, and myself, the pronouns, as we read on this screen, are ours, yours, and us. When we pray, Jesus teaching us how to pray. When we pray, we are allowing God to lead us out of our aloneness into a togetherness with Him, and as we'll see in these next few weeks, with others. We should note that we can only call God our Father when we are actually adopted to become His children. And of course, this happens through faith in Jesus. 1 John says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." People often think that everyone is a child of God, but that's not actually true. Yes, Christians would believe that we are all created in the image and likeness of God, but we are not all His children as the Bible defines. The Bible says in John chapter 1, "To all who received Him, or who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." So as J.I. Packer says, prayer to God as Father is a Christian's prayer. Perhaps this is why I was so struck by how evangelistic and invitational the Lord's Prayer is as I recited it in my homeroom classrooms for so many years. Jesus teaches us to begin our prayers by remembering our spiritual adoption, to remember what we have been called out of and what we've been called into. So what does that mean? We are called out of a mindset and lifestyle that is self-preserving and self-promoting and self-sufficient, and He invites us to see and be seen as we acknowledge our belonging to Him and this new family called the family of God. So Jesus says, when you pray, this is how you should pray: "Our Father." Think back to when a child first learns to talk. In some ways, this is what the disciples were doing. They were learning how to talk. They were learning how to talk to Jesus, how to talk to God. It's called prayer. Children's first words aren't long speeches or complex sentences. They're quite simple, often just the one word coming out. Maybe it's a mom or dad or dog. Ella, our granddaughter, who is 1 year and a half, I only ever hear coming out of her mouth the word grandpa. It's just remarkable. She is an unbelievable child. It's spectacular. I get to hear or imagine my hearing all the time. And that's not true at all. But a first word a child speaks, it carries so much weight, because these words of connection are words of love. So parents and grandpas like me, we work really hard for those first words that create connection. That's why Ella will say, "Mom, Dad," and be connected to the couple dogs the family has. Learning how to pray is learning connection and relationship to God. So may I just say, if you've never prayed, or perhaps you have little time to pray, begin today with simple words, first spoken words, childlike words, "Our Father." Say it again, "Our Father, and repeat it over, over, and again. And by doing so, you are following the instruction of the Lord on how to pray because you're pursuing relationship and pursuing revelation. Good for you. He goes on to say, our Father in heaven says, when you pray, let me ask you, have you ever thought about how your prayers start? Jesus, again, he's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching children how to talk to God through the avenue and venue of prayer, the activity of prayer. How do you start your prayer? Well, again, admission, authenticity. Perhaps if you're like me, I think I am most prone to quick start prayer by using pronouns that come easiest to me. Words like I and me and my. The problem is that when we start there, often our prayers become so narrow. Jesus is teaching us to orientate our prayers more theologically than that. He's telling us to start prayer by offering recognition and worship. He's telling us to focus on God, to be present with God. And if we do this, our prayers will not narrow. Rather, our hearts and our minds will widen and be enlivened by our relationship and revelation of our Father, which art in heaven. Last weekend, the date, August 31st, Labor Day weekend, long weekend in the Lower Mainland. It was a very special day for Living Waters Church. In the morning, we heard six stories of people coming to Christ, all ages, sharing their stories of how they've come to Christ and now how Jesus is now their Lord and Savior. It was beautiful to hear story of people discovering their Heavenly Father and being invited into an understanding of their Father in heaven, which now they are set towards because of salvation. In the evening, we gathered in our auditorium here in Fort Langley with a gathering called Rivers. It was beautifully led by our worship team, and we spent time, but 120 of us gathered together for 90 minutes. And what was special about it was that we were together with God. We found ourselves encouraged as our Father in heaven felt so near, moving by His Holy Spirit in our lives in the midst of our togetherness. We need to appreciate how Jesus is teaching us to pray to our Father, to be experiencing God together. I'm going to just say, if you're new or newer to Living Waters Church, we have five core church values: community, generosity, growing, recognizing and releasing, and authenticity. If you stick around here long enough, you're going to know that we talk quite a bit about our values. They're posted on our website. They actually are printed beautifully on one of the feature walls in our foyer here in Fort Langley. Values are important. While we are far from perfect as a bunch of people, we are people that want to be intentional. We want to be people that prioritize. And of all that our values do, and there is so many good things our values do for us, what they do is they lead us to an us. They lead us out of our aloneness to our togetherness. We have found time and time again that as a community, we are at our best as a people and a group when we are showing up for one another, when we are giving together, when we are serving alongside each other. You see, Christian life and living is not about coming to sit in a single seat in a room within a Christian auditorium, or perhaps joining during this gathering here. Yes, these are good places to start, but not the place to stop. Community and prayer invites us to find our people, to find the hour in our Father. And the regularity of learning how to pray the way Jesus taught us how to pray is this continual reminder of who is the our in our Father. So why does Jesus add our Father in heaven when our need is on earth? Well, Jesus is teaching that prayer leads us towards God's greatness. God is sovereign. He's self-existent. He's eternal and infinite. He is wise and good and righteous and glorious. Our Heavenly Father is in charge of everything and all things. He's free from all the limitations and weakness and sins of our earthly fathers. His fatherhood is perfect. Furthermore, the Lord's Prayer helps us obey Colossians 3, which says, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." See, the absence in this prayer of the pronouns I, me, and mine help with this. As we follow Jesus' instructions, our thoughts, our hearts, and minds will broaden to the us around us and to our Heavenly Father who is above all things and so interested in hearing and responding to our prayer. Finally, in this first sentence of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says, "Hallowed be your name." The name of God in the Bible refers to his person, who he's revealed himself to be. So what does it mean to hallow his name? It means that his name is to be known and honored as holy, as different. He's higher, he's greater, he's purer, and he's sweeter than any other name. His name represents his character. Notice again, Jesus is teaching us how to pray. Hallowed be your name. This is a petition, not an assertion. Jesus isn't telling us to pray, "God, your name is holy." He's teaching us how to pray. It's a petition. Hallowed be your name. Another translation says, "God, may your name be known as holy," a specific request that we bring to God. So notice, the very first thing, Jesus teaching us how to pray. The first thing Jesus teaches us to ask for. Again, so far removed from I, me, and my. He teaches us to pray that God's name would be honored as holy. May your name be hallowed and holy. Well, you may think, but isn't God's name already holy? Yes, it is. But in our human use of it, it's often not kept holy and set apart. For when we are adopted into the family of God, we become name bearers in the world. As his children, we take the Lord's name as our own. Therefore, we see this prayer as a commission to live lives that honor the family name. When Julie and I moved to Quebec so many years ago, we had to apply for new government documents. And we were surprised to learn that Julie had to apply using her maiden name. So she had to return from Soames to Paget, her maiden name. There's many reasons, I'm sure. The reason we first heard was because the marital divorce rate in Quebec was so high, it was just easier for women to keep their maiden name. I don't know the tremendous amount of truth to all that, but that's what we were told in these government offices. The Lord's Prayer in some way confronts us with the question. And the question is, are you all in? Are you truly taking the name of our Father in heaven? Hallowed be his name. Are you taking his name in place of your own? Is there a union? Is there a commitment? Is there a covenant that would, again, see us going forward with confidence in our relationship and in the continued revelation that he brings to us as children of God? We are to want his name to be hallowed, to be known and honored as holy and good. We want God's name to be honored in every part of our lives. The hope for our work, marriages, friendships, ministries, our free time, our finances, our education, our retirement, our church membership is the honoring of God's name. Personally, locally, And of course, globally, we want God's holy name to be known and honored by everyone. So in closing, let me just ask you, how are you with prayer? How are you with prayer? We benefit not from anything less than a beautiful invitation that we read in our text today. This then is how you should pray. I think we can do this. I think with good intention, I think we can learn. I think there's relationship and revelation to come to each one of us as we move along as children of God. I think Jesus shows us in this passage, it's not necessarily about reciting more or praying more. It's about praying differently, praying how Jesus would teach us to pray. I don't think there's a workaround here. There's no kind of life hack. Our growing, our maturing with the Lord will not bypass prayer. It won't. It won't. It never has and it never will. Don't wait for the life hack. This is an invitation to pursue relationship and revelation. May we pray, God, lead us. And we can be assured that the starting of this journey of God leading us, it will always be prayer, the Lord's Prayer, asking us to consider what and who is leading us and asking us, where are we actually headed this fall? Where are our priorities and our habits leading us? And today, as a community, we ask you to take a fresh look at prayer and how prayer leads us along the very, very best path. As we close, let's together recite the Lord's Prayer. Allow me to read it one more time. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.